Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void. And darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God spread over the face of the water. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Our scriptures, our faith begins and ends in creation. With a new creation from Genesis to Revelation, a vision for what could be. A separation of night from day, of pain from promise, of what is from what could be. You'd be forgiven for missing it, of course, as too many of us as people of faith have spent all of our time when we hear these stories focusing on the historicity of these accounts, standing on our heads to do our best to show how they could possibly have happened, missing the point entirely, as if God would be any less God if creation came through evolution. Where the universe began with a big bang. Friends, we are missing the point. These stories were never told to tell us how we got here. These stories, never meant to be taken literally, were there to tell us why we are here, which in the end means that they don't have to have happened to be true. And yet, the thing that we miss in this strange pitting of science against faith, the dire and deadly consequences of which we are facing right now as a society, is that from the very beginning, there is one point on which faith and science have always agreed. It's right there at the beginning. We did not arise out of nothing. Creation did not come from nothing. It was not creatio ex nihilo, not in science and not in faith. We are from the very beginning, part of the beauty of our faith is that from the very beginning, we were formed from the muck, from the dust, from that formless void, what Genesis calls the water. Did you hear it? And a wind from God swept over the face of the water, perhaps akin to that primordial sludge from which we all eventually evolved. We did not arise out of nothing. We came from the muck and transformed that chaos into something beautiful. It is right there from the very beginning. And it will be there until the end, as until we reach that final destination promised by Jesus Christ and envisioned in Revelation as that new heaven and that new earth, that moment when the muck of the world, when that formless void, when those waters will finally recede and we will be left with that new city, that place in which we all finally and fully live as God commanded. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. Until then, while the waters are still rising, both literally and metaphorically, while the chaos still reigns, we as a people of faith have work to do. Because when Jesus promises to make all things new, friends, he does not promise to take away the pain of the world. It's already here. No, by God's grace, he promises to transform it.
and as the living, breathing body of Christ for this world, whether we like it or not, whether we want it or not, we are a part of that new creation. And the good news is that new creation comes out of the chaos. We've done a lot of reminiscing over the weekend, haven't we? It makes sense. 20 years is a long time. It's a big moment at which to mark. Granted, some among us were not even born when 9/11 happened, and others of us were not yet old enough to really understand what was happening, but I would imagine that almost all of us who were of a certain age can never really forget that particular day. I had just moved to Columbus, Ohio, to be near a young woman I was courting at the time. Good news, it worked out. I was getting ready for a job interview later that morning and had the Today Show on in the background, as I often did. When the plane hit that first tower, they had breaking news and they moved to someone on the street. They were speaking with them about what was happening, doubting whether or not it could have been a commercial airliner that had hit that, saying to them, "No, I don't think you're right, that you must be mistaken." At that very moment in real time, the second plane hit. Chaos. Do you remember that day? Waiting moment by moment for that next bit of breaking news to arrive, Flight 93 down, the Pentagon hit, and all the misinformation that was out there, all those images of people running down the streets, the towers on fire, dust everywhere, people running, car traffic jams everywhere, people desperately calling their loved ones to find out what was going on, that sense of collective shock that we all felt, and more than anything else, an uncertainty about what the future would hold. And darkness fell over the face of the deep. As with so many traumas, the further away it gets, the less of our horizon it takes up. But if we look really hard, it's still there, isn't it? We can see it off in the distance. And if we squint, if we can look past all that has come in between, all that has happened since, we can still just make out what it was like in that first moment, in those first days. And we can see, if we look really, really hard, the seeds of the new creation that were planted at that very moment. Maybe you remember them. We had in that moment those first responders who ran right in, some from this very congregation who went in to do whatever they could to help. We had communities rallying around one another to see what they could do. We had politicians for one moment setting aside their own petty partisanship to try and do something for the common good. We had Christians and Jews, both of whom understand what it is like to have a few radicals from their faith who manipulate their faith suddenly be the spokespeople for their entire faith. They reached out to their Muslim brothers and sisters. We had a president who at the time promised to meet violence with patient justice. No, make no mistake, friends, the seeds of a new creation were planted in that day. Seeds that, had they been nurtured, had they been allowed to take root, just might have brought us to that new heaven and new earth. Only, as we know from hard experience, it's much easier to sow the seeds than it is to nurture them. And it didn't take long for those weeds of discord to block out the light. For communities brought together to begin to separate again, for that partisanship to raise its ugly head, for fear of neighbor to take over from that pernicious and often racist understanding of anyone who is different as being somebody to fear. and that patient justice and goodwill of the world was wasted on two ill-conceived and ill-fated wars, the consequences of which we are still facing today. No, friends, we, in the wake of 9/11, missed the opportunity to become more fully who God is calling us to be. But the good news is that there is still time. After all, new creation comes from the chaos. It comes out of the chaos. And we are still, whether we like it or not, swimming in those waters. Of course, there have been other moments of collective trauma since 9/11, and many more personal ones in those last 20 years. Maybe you're remembering a few today. But nothing, if we're honest, has arguably felt quite as world-changing, as world-shifting since 9/11 as the pandemic. It's different, of course. It didn't just affect the United States, but the entire world. There weren't 3,000 people who died, but 600,000 plus and counting in our nation alone. It wasn't just one day, but 1.5 years and counting. There were differences. But some of those feelings felt the same. We were, after all, trucking along, going about our business, right? Vaguely aware of something that was happening on the other side of the world, but content to just live in blissful ignorance. We're pretty good at that even today. We may know that other people are suffering, but so long as our children have a bus to take, we're okay. Of course, when those cases arrived in Rochester, or in whatever community you happen to be watching from, we know that the world suddenly turned upside down. We had our last service, full service day of services, three services we used to have, remember those days? On March 8th, 2020, during which time we installed the Reverend Susan Schaefer as our senior minister emerita. It was a big day, and by the next Sunday, we were telling people to stay home from church. For 1.5 years, we have been telling people to stay home from church. What? Sure, in that first day, March 15th, we did have a few people in our sanctuary that came, but after that, it was just a few of us on staff, and God bless them, the volunteers, the intrepid volunteers whom I will never be able to thank enough, who kept our live stream going, who answered every text that needed to, who worked on to make sure that all the technical difficulties were taken care of. I will forever thank you and be grateful to you for connecting the people of God in a time when we desperately needed to be connected. Of course, it wasn't just the church that changed. No, the entire world flipped upside down. Businesses closed, schools closed, institutions and governments. Everybody had to figure out what to do, and it affected each of us differently. Some of us were sprinting just to keep up, and others of us were asked to stop when all we were used to doing was moving. Leaders, over and over again, we're forced to make choices between two bad options. And each of us were disappointing one another in ways that we couldn't always handle. Maybe we need a moment to just admit, this has been hard. It's scary. And isolating and chaotic. But out of the chaos can come a new creation. We saw the seeds planted even at the beginning of the pandemic, didn't we? It's hard to remember, given all that has happened, but we can look back. We had very similar feelings to the to what we had right after 9/11, didn't we? We saw communities coming together. We saw politicians for a moment setting aside their own partisan petty politics in order to account for the greater good. We saw people of faith reaching out to one another. Sure, there were differences, right? It wasn't first responders, but rather essential workers, medical professionals, and educators, and all of those whose jobs before this we took for granted. And we didn't do our part by leaving home, but rather by staying there. We saw those seeds of a new creation being planted, seeds that if we had only nurtured. Could have grown to bear fruit. But just as happened after 9/11, we allowed those weeds of discord to block out the light. It didn't take long for the pandemic to become partisan, for that love of neighbor to capitulate almost entirely to fear of them. We watched in real time as people began to masquerade their selfishness under the cloak of freedom, forgetting all the time that my freedom and yours are intricately bound. Even the Christians, even people of faith, people who should know better, people who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, people who proclaim a faith that is grounded in sacrificial love, when push came to shove, were unwilling to lay down their lives for the sake of others, even when the sacrifice was as simple as wearing a mask or getting a couple of shots in the arm. No, friends, that age-old and absurd battle between science and faith has led to its natural and deadly conclusion. And at the very moment when the world needed us most, we let them down. The good news is that there is still time. All of us want this pandemic to be over, but maybe the gift, the secret blessing of it lasting so long is that it still gives us a chance in the moment to shift directions, to change how we look at this, to adjust where we're looking to repent, that is, to literally face in a new direction. It gives us the opportunity to change, and change is possible. Look at today. Here we are, friends. Sure, there are some who are no longer among us who have passed on in this last year and a half, and there are some that have moved on in the last year and a half, but we are still here, not everybody. But after a year and a half of singing together, God be with you till we meet again, we finally do. Only make no mistake, we're not the same as we were a year and a half ago. We are a new people. We're a new creation. We've been through something. How could we not be changed in this moment? No longer are we bound to Rochester. We're a new creation. We are, as Asbury First, a new creation. No longer can we only think about ourselves as the people who sit in these pews. Now we have to consider all those who sit on their couches and are listening on the radio or on the phone or are walking their dog, listening on the podcast. We recognize that they are just as much a part of us as we are of them. Sure, I haven't seen the numbers for today. Maybe this actually is it, and there's just a couple of stalwarts from Kansas watching. Thanks, Mom and Dad. But somehow I doubt it. No, friends, maybe the gift of our congregation now being bigger than this city, this community, is that it gives us a chance to scatter those seeds of a new creation further than we ever could have before. Maybe it gives us a chance to not just focus on what is near us, but us on everywhere, wherever there is just injustice. Maybe this is our chance to turn and to face it. Maybe this is our chance to finally plant those seeds in fertile soil, those seeds of a new creation, and to look to do some weeding, that is, to get out to those roots of the injustices of our world and once and for all to pull them out so that all may find life. After all, we've learned some things in the last year and a half, haven't we? As so often happens, the illness reveals the deeper disease. Suddenly, we've recognized what our systems of white supremacy have done to create the injustices of this world. Friends, people of color have been disproportionately affected by this pandemic, not because of any biological difference, but because for too long, people like me, who look like me, have been unwilling to face the racist institutions that have derived us benefit. No longer. The call of the gospel is and always has been a call for all. The new creation that Christ promised is for all, never for some. All of us, young and old, black and white, gay and straight, male and female, rich and poor, broken and whole, Republican and Democrat, and everyone beyond and between. It is a call for all, and if it feels overwhelming, the good news is we don't have to face it alone. That's why we're here. This fall, the series of sermons for the next few weeks will be on a new creation, a chance for us to consider together how we are a part of a new creation and what we might do to live into that. We're not here to try and take away the pain of the world. It's already here. We're here, as Jesus Christ promised, to transform it. Yes, it may be chaotic, but by God's grace, new creation comes from the chaos. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.